You're listening to the Winter Interview Series on the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at Exmark.com. And Crest Commercial, introducing the 8-Minute Cyber System, the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in commercial battery-powered OPE. Professional landscapers can now replace their gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. For more information or to find a Crest dealer near you, visit Crest.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. The weekly show, sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service. Educational and motivational to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 446, entitled Interview with Tony Rudolph from Tony's Lawn Care. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to these winter interview series episodes. Really do appreciate that and the feedback that I've been getting because of them. Without further ado, let's get right into it. So I want to welcome Tony to the show. Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Man, what a blessing to be back on the show with you. Been listening to your podcast for a number of years, long time, and can picture myself in all these different yards that I mow, listening to your podcast for, years before I even get a chance to meet you or anything. And then over the last couple of years, I've been really talking you down the expo and stuff, and then really this year is when I really got to talk to you. So
it's been a fun couple of years with the community and the feedback that you get when you're putting out content, as you know, and the friendships and stuff that you make and those connections. And you have done a fantastic job as well with your social media and as well with the expo and doing kind of like meetups and stuff that you've been getting guys together and rounding them up. And, I got a text message from you this week about your booking hotels and giving me a tip on, if I want to stay in this hotel with the same guys and stuff like that, to sort of passing that along and things. So, it's very, very cool to have that sort of community presence there every year to look forward to.
Yeah, I try to be as inclusive as possible, to all the guys, just like, real-time grassroots, just trying. If I think of someone, hey, I should tell this person, come, invite this person, do this, I try to make it, try to make an effort to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, that's been cool. I think I even have a couple of new local guys, a guy that owns a tree service. I think he's going to come this year. Great guy. So, yeah. So the expo is really cool. I mean, it's kind of one of the highlights of our industry. So I kind of want to try to invite people and be as inclusive as possible when I can, if I think of someone, that I want to include, let's do it. So not trying to get thousands of people to do this or that, but at the same time, if I think of someone, hey, let's include them. So, I haven't done as good a job as you with my social media. It's been a little sporadic in the last year or so. But me and my wife have been working really hard. We paid off our mortgage last year, and so social media was a little bit on the back burner. Mm-hmm. And then in 2020, thanks to you and some others, I decided to start a little truck talk podcast, and that's been cool. Mm-hmm. I got to get I need to get a little more consistent with it, podcast is probably my favorite form of, you can hang out with guys even while you're mowing or that, so it's really cool.
Yeah, it's very, it's a very neat format. I always think kind of to myself how I kind of almost got away with doing it for so long by myself. I was almost kind of worried going, aren't people catching on to like how great this is of a format to have out there and to be listening? It's like it almost lends itself perfectly to our industry because you're busy and you're on mowers and stuff, but you've got at the same time, as busy as you are working, that's a lot of time that you can be, you know, listening to something and making
absolutely
the most of your time, right? So it works really well as a supplemental form of content towards you know, traditional like YouTube videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, I feel like it is. I don't know. I feel like for me, it's slightly harder to like be motivated to make them all the time. I feel like a YouTube video is a little more interactive. It's a little different. Mm-hmm. And my channel's small. I just have like 11,000 subscribers over there. But still, if I make a video on there, instantly, you know, 50 people will be like, "Hey, this was cool. I like this. Mm-hmm. I like this." But, you know, on the podcast, it's a little different. It kind of feels like, man, am I just like out in my garage rambling to myself or like, you know what? So
Yeah. This one thing I noticed between all of the different platforms is that there's no real rhyme or reason. There are obviously like cross pollination of audiences that some people watch all your YouTube videos and they'll listen to all your podcasts and they'll follow you on Instagram and things like that. But then there's a lot of people that don't, and they only do one of the three or whatever the case may be. And you really have like separate communities almost on each of the different platforms. Mm-hmm. So, it can be, I can see how, you know, it can be a little bit of a struggle with podcasts, even for me doing it for so long. The feedback on YouTube is just instantaneous, right? Where with a podcast, it's other than somebody taking the time to send you an email, which or leave a review or things like that. It's a much harder thing to get feedback on, which is why I always start the show with thanking people for the feedback, because I know it's such a big deal, right, for them to go out of their way and do it. It's not simple like scrolling down to the bottom of the page and leave a comment, right, sort of thing. It'd be nice if it was. That'd be a cool feature for podcasts if they could somehow figure out cross-platform how to leave comments and stuff attached to the podcast. That would be a pretty neat thing.
But, well, now on the, have you seen on Spotify, they have like a little thing where like a person can leave a question.
Yeah.
And you can basically, it looks like you can just, I've tried it, you know, I've done it a few times where you can just like publish it or pin it or whatever they call it, but you can't reply to it like right there on the text. I guess they're just figuring you'll mention it maybe in your next podcast or something like that.
You know? Okay, yeah. So I've seen that when like uploading episodes through there. I've never used it or tried it, but I've definitely seen it come up. It's been fairly recent, the last few months or so, that option has popped up.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter what you use to upload it. Like someone, you know, there's probably people that, you know, check on there because there'd be people that leave Q&A. There'd definitely be people that leaving stuff for your podcast, but they won't be able to see it unless you like approve it. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay. Yeah,
like
yeah.
you have to say, okay, this is okay to be published where people can see it on this episode. You still can't reply to it, but they won't even see it show up unless you like approve it.
Okay.
That's not the wording they use, but you got to like let it be published or public or something like that. So
yeah, that makes sense.
So that, you know, it's kind of starting a little bit there, but other than that, you know, of course you could do video. Do you do like, I've never listened on video, but do you do like a video podcast channel? I feel like people, you know, it's just in general with podcasts, that's like a thing now. Everyone does. Do you do that?
No, I don't. I did for a few years, only just the interview episodes like this one. I was doing them over Zoom before people even knew what Zoom was before the pandemic. I was using Zoom and it was, I put out a bunch of episodes. I still have them on my channel, but I don't have them public anymore. I took them down. I felt, and it might be different now because YouTube is now pushing podcasting as a format and there's like a podcasting tab and stuff. When I was doing it, it wasn't. Mm-hmm, and those videos were like, you know, and an hour, 2 hours long, some of them, and they were getting, you know, like 5 views and stuff because most people weren't listening to
a podcast.
So I felt that it was bringing down the channel as a whole because it not getting. So I didn't want to delete them, but I just made them not public anymore. So they're just in my private, like, kind of collection there because I figured, oh, maybe one day I can use them again or something like that. But now they've enabled, like, podcasting, and they kind of are trying to push. And like you say, everybody's got some sort of a video podcast happening and things like that. But with the content that I do, and I've always said this, like, I always, for myself, create content that I consume myself. So whether it's a review or something like that, I don't typically follow channels or people for, you know, hanging out to see like how their day is going and stuff like that. Like I'm on YouTube like so much, but it's always researching. It's always looking for reviews on equipment or something I'm looking to buy or how to do something, a tutorial, something specific. So because that's how I research, how I use YouTube, and podcasts, I just listen to podcasts. There's a couple, like the very first podcast that I ever listened to that I still listen to this day, is a tech podcast called Mac Break Weekly. It's every Tuesday. I've been listening to it since like 2012 or something like that, like crazy. They have
that's
a video
version.
And they have a video version of that. And I've watched it a couple times, but rarely will I sit there for 2 hours watching, you know, it's like, I'd rather just listen to it in the background. Right. So for me, putting a video podcast out is something I probably wouldn't do because it's just, it's not how I would consume podcasts. So it's just one of those things.
I do feel like it probably would, you know, I don't know. You know more about YouTube than I do, but I feel like it would hurt your regular like lawn channel. I feel like unless it had like a podcast, like a special tab or something, I almost feel like you'd have to like make it on a separate Lawn Care Business Success podcast channel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, but then I feel like it would be super hard to grow it like that, you know, on another channel too. So like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, but if you sit in the same spot, you know, in your studio or whatever, and you record it every week, I can see where some people are like, you know, why not? You know, you just have a camera on and it's the same thing anyway.
Yeah.
And you could possibly pick up some more people that maybe see it on one or the other, and then they decide, oh, I'm going to just listen to the audio when I'm out mowing or, you know, who knows.
But, it's possible. I think my biggest issue is that probably, and I would say probably since the pandemic happened, when everybody was like forced to be home and stuff, including my wife and my kids and stuff like that, I've always tried to create the podcast in a really quiet environment to give like the best audio quality and all that sort of stuff, to the point like early on those first few years when I was doing it like on my computer, with a mic plugged into the computer and all that sort of stuff. I was taking off like a day a week of work, so that I could do this at home, in those early years, to have the house to myself. I would do it on a Monday instead of going to work. I would just rearrange. I stopped doing lawns on Mondays and stuff. And it was just focus on the podcast and doing that. Then the pandemic happened. It's like everybody's home all the time. So I started have to do, and I still continue a lot of times, probably I would say almost 60%, 70% maybe of my podcast episodes, except for the interview ones here, I do in the back of my wife's SUV in the garage because it's, it's the quietest place I can find when everybody's home. During the pandemic and stuff it was like, you know, the car naturally is kind of like a sound booth. It's all like her SUV happens to be a cloth interior. So, it absorbs a lot of the sounds, can be sitting in the back seat. There's tons of room there. I can set up the Rodecaster Pro, with the battery pack in there and my, my headphones with the mic and stuff. And then I'm double insulated 'cause I'm in the garage, which is another set of walls and stuff. And it's just a lot of times you'll be listening to the episode and it's of me sitting in the back of the car recording it, because that's what I can do, right? You got to make whatever work to keep that consistency, right? Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to get it done for other reasons. So it's just one of those things. So I don't think those would make for good videos.
That'd be kind of cool. I thought about me and some of the other guys. I thought about this when we were at the expo, like how funny it would be. You know how like some people have those, which you may have, and I don't know, but it has like, it's like a boom that your mic goes on, you know, like it'll go like out away from you, come back. People have it mounted on like a desk or like a ceiling or something. I was like, how funny would that be to have that like mounted like on the headliner of your truck inside, and so you could like have that boom mic, you know, like when you drive.
Doing podcasts on the go.
Yeah, that'd be ultimate lawn care truck talk, you know, like podcast setup.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
What is your favorite type of headphones? Like, what, I know you use the IsoTunes, but what is like your favorite one for listening to podcasts when you're out and about, you know what I mean?
For like if I'm working or not working,
like which model is it, is your really favorite?
I have settled on, like, for IsoTunes, while I'm working, I have settled on, I think my favorites, it's a toss up between the Pro 2.0s. So I've gone, I've been fortunate enough to try, pretty much every model that they've put out. And, so I've gotten some, you know, really good firsthand, experience with every model. I would say my least favorite IsoTunes are the wireless ones, the in-ear wireless ones. I don't think those do a good job at isolating noise. In general, I think all of the in-ear ones, they're great for certain times of year. Like the Pros and stuff like that. Like, especially if it's summertime and it's super hot, not having like big cans on your head, really helps. So they're good for that, but they also, they use, the memory foam, like tips or whatever. They have the rubber ones too, but the memory foam ones I find generally isolate the noise better, but they wear out, slowly over time, and you don't quite notice it. So, cause you know, they're memory foam, you're squeezing them in and stuff, but you'll kind of start to notice eventually over time that the mower seems to be getting louder, or you can't hear the podcast that you're listening to as good as you could have before, sort of thing. Right. So it kind of creeps up on you. So I worry about, losing my hearing because of that, with it just kind of incrementally creeping up. Whereas the over the ear ones, you know, like as soon as you put it on your head, everything's kind of, you know, isolated, blocked out. So I tend to use the over the ear cans still, even, you know, in hotter weather and stuff, as much as I can, unless it's like crazy, crazy hot. So I've been settling on those Pro 2.0s, but you know what? I think my favorite one that I would recommend to most people is their cheapest one. Those, what are they called? Air Defenders. They are super lightweight, over the ear headphones. I think they're like $80. They're their cheapest model and they're fantastic. The battery life is like 50 hours, on a charge. So it's, you know, great for, you know, 2-3 days, no problem. And I'll generally charge them like every 3 days or so just to, you know, top them up again. So I never worry about the batteries running out and stuff. And, yeah, they're fantastic, units. What do you use?
Well, I kind of, you know, I ask you that because I kind of try everything across the board like that. I had the IsoTunes like when they first came out, you know, the ones like you're saying where you have to squeeze the foam tip, but they had a wire between them, you know?
Yeah.
Use those a lot. And then, you know, because for me, like the only problem I have with all the like kind that goes over your head is that my head is super big. Like if I'm wearing a hat, like on like the snapback ones, I'm only like two or three bumps in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that kind of like any over ear ones, like it will in a number of about 3 or 4 hours, like I'll have a super bad headache. So it kind of sucks because it is nice not having to stick something in your ear and all this mess. So that is kind of a problem with all those style of ones, even though I still will use them here and there. But like I've tried everything all over the map, every brand, like the 3M Bluetooth ones. There's these MyPiece like ones that are basically just look like ones that people wear in a factory or something. They're like rubber tip ones that they get bigger, they step up, you know, they're tiny in the end and then one step bigger. That was a recent set I tried. They just kind of hang on your neck. I used to use the LG, you know, like the ones that everyone had like a few years ago. Where it would just have like that little thing.
Yeah, the ones that Keith Kalfas always made popular.
Yeah. So like, even back then, I think even a little bit before that, like I love those style ones because that for some reason, like after a while, you wouldn't even notice that thing was like on your neck, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's like no weight to like the little buds, you know, they're just like, there's no battery or anything on them. Like they're tiny. And they have the rubber tip on that. They're not even made to be hearing protection, you know, like the ones Keith Kalfas wears and stuff, but they do block out pretty well, you know, just because of the design of them. And then, you know, I've had those like the Galaxy Buds Plus, which are kind of like the AirPods sort of. There's some other ones I'm trying right now. Like I'm willing to try anything that works. I try and like Skull Candy ones. They're like over the ear. The thing is, and like you're saying during the, like the mower, not a problem. Trimmer, not a problem. Like if you're using a handheld blower, obviously battery equipment's not a problem. The problem is let's say you're doing fall cleanups all day and you're going to run the 90/10 or you're going to run, you know, whatever, the Steel BR 800 or the Husqvarna 580, you know, those, it's hard to block that, you know what I'm saying? Those units are loud.
Yeah, they are annoyingly loud.
Yeah. So that's the thing I'm always battling with. Like, you know, because our lease season, they fall slow and, you know, we're doing it for 2 or 3 months mm-hmm. here. We're still running those blowers every day. And so, you know, most of the year it's totally fine, but then, you know, it's a little struggle with those blowers. And then, so sometimes you revert to not always getting to listen podcasts. Sometimes you just, you know, rock with the old school foam ones in your ear or, you know, non-music ones or something. So I'm willing to try all kinds. I'm trying these ones, wireless ones on Amazon, another different pair of ones on Amazon. I probably need to experiment some more with the different isotunes ones mm-hmm. they have. Also, I feel like when it's hot outside, that whatever you're putting in your ear probably conforms to your ear a little bit better, probably blocking out the sound a little bit better than it does when it's cold.
Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, that does. Absolutely. I tried the AirPods one season as well. The AirPod Pros with like the active noise cancellation. They worked fantastically for blocking out the sound. You could hear everything crystal clear, but I stopped using them only because I was like, they're not marketed as hearing protection. So I was like, I don't know enough about how they work and stuff that it's like, could this be possibly still doing damage without me knowing it? And I was like, this is Apple. Yeah. Like if they could, you know, market it as a hearing protection and charge you an extra $100, like they would jump at that, right? They're not doing that. So there must be a reason why they're not doing that. Right? So I was like, I better not take the risk. It's not worth my hearing if, you know, 4 or 5 years later, yeah, you'll start losing your hearing because you're using AirPods.
Well, I mean, that's why if years coming, if we could move to using Crest stuff or whatever, you know, all that's not as much of a problem, mm-hmm. you know, as it was. Because, you know, the things that you're holding or things on your back are the very loudest. You know how, like, the mower is generally, it's just, for the user, it seems like any mower, even big mowers or small mowers, like, they're just way quieter, like, to you, the user. You know, whereas if you have a backpack blower, something in your hand that's right there, you know, screaming in your ears.
Yeah.
It's loud. You
know? Yeah. There are some loud big mowers, though, too. I wish they would.
That's true.
It always amazes me that a mower, no matter how much horsepower and stuff it has, is nowhere near, like, you know, your average mower is nowhere near the engine size of your typical even four cylinder car. And it's like, how is that can like right. be right beside me completely silent? And this thing with, you know, relatively small engine is like so noisy. I'm like, how could they not
crazy to think about?
Yeah. It's like, well, how have they not figured this out yet? Like, why can't they make this quieter? Just one of those things.
Yeah. I think maybe just it's a lot of it is like in the catalytic converter and exhaust and everything. Cause your car, like if you cut the muffler off, it will be loud.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot of science, you know, goes into those catalytic converters and stuff on your car, and it heats it up to 1000 degrees and it passes it through the charcoal, and that, you know, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But like, even if they could figure out how to improve that, like on the small engine, just the exhaust part of it, that's mm-hmm. probably, that's a big portion of it, but you know, just like anything, they got to figure out, is it worth it for them to, you know, spend the extra money in engineering to be able to do that. But I'd be interested in that for sure.
But could you imagine though, like if they started doing that, like on everything, and then like, you're like, say you like grab your mower and you start like mowing somebody's back lawn, and then you come back and somebody's like stolen all of the catalytic converters off of your like trimmers and blowers.
yeah, that's crazy.
It'd be like, what the heck? Like, it's getting out of hand. It seems so crazy, like this whole catalytic converter theft, like all over the place. It's like, what?
Oh, absolutely. It's a big deal.
It's insane. I've seen twice now. Once was in the middle of the night. It was around 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up, I heard this noise, and it was full on like metal on metal being cut. Like, you could totally tell. I was like, that's a reciprocating saw. Somebody's getting their catalytic converter stolen. It's so noisy because it's in the middle of the night. It's like dead quiet. And then you hear this like, right? And sure enough, the next day, I was on Facebook on like the community group of like the neighborhood. And it was like somebody down the street saying, my husband caught some guy trying to steal our catalytic converter last night. And I was like, oh man, that's like just down the street. And then the other weekend, on Saturday, actually, this past Saturday, I wanted to do a pulled pork on my pellet grill. So I was like, oh, this is going to take like 13 hours or something. I'll wake up at like, you know, 5:30 in the morning to get this on. So I got out there and was setting it up, got out of bed. And in the distance, I heard the same noise. And I was like, oh, this one's a lot farther. But I was like, man, somebody's getting their catalytic converter stolen. You can hear it in the distance.
Wow, like,
it's like crazy. And I've seen on some of the neighborhoods I've done, I was mowing a corner lot once. And I see something on the ground on the curb, and I go up to it, and it was literally like three or four Milwaukee metal reciprocating saw blades that were all worn out that somebody just dumped there on the curb.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, yeah, there's the tools of the trade that somebody's dropped off there in the middle of the night. But that would be pretty crazy if they started doing that with mowers and stuff. Adding catalytic converters would just increase the theft even more than they already seem to grow legs and walk away sometimes.
Yeah, and that is a crazy thing. I remember when you first published the story about your trailer getting stolen. I remember how crazy that was. Like, I remember seeing your video, like how you had it, like hooking up to it out front. Like, that was blowing my mind when that happened. Like they're pretty brave to just like steal that, like right there.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Like, at your house. Like, that's nuts.
Yeah. Especially the part where you see the guy, look up at notice I have security cameras. He looks straight up at the camera and then just takes his hoodie hood and puts it over his head. Like, didn't care at all. It was just like, whatever, right? Continue on, like, didn't, like, nothing. Didn't even phase them. But do you guys have any, where you're out more in the country, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more in the country, but, you know, that doesn't mean it's zero problem. I mean, there are crazy people everywhere, you know? So it's something that, you know, we have to keep things locked up and try to do our best, just like anyone. Cause it is country, but people are flooding to this area out of Atlanta and stuff. So, I mean, there's, as soon as it's a weird thing, as soon as COVID became a thing, you know, people are like wanting to like move away from the cities or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so our area, we have basically like tripled the population here, you know, in the last 2.5 years or however long it's been. So that's kind of good in some ways, and it's kind of bad in some ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's good because there's houses, you know, hundreds and hundreds of houses just built every day, and someone's got to mow those lawns, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good thing, but, you know, just like anywhere, I mean, it's bad. Obviously, we have a lot more traffic now, and, mm-hmm. you know, there's all wrecks and stuff every day, and you're having to put up more traffic lights, and, you know, the whole deal. But, you know, so that is, it's, you know, it is, maybe, you know, 20 years ago is not even a thing here, but, you know, it's, you know, things are becoming more like that, you know, as years go on.
Yeah.
Because it's getting, you know, more and more and more busy. But, you know, it's all right. We're going to have to, just like you do, just be diligent to try to keep things locked up. And, you know, my dad, a few years ago, he had like 3 backpack blowers stolen right off of his property at his house. You know, the steel BR-600s that were running back in the day, you know,
okay, yeah, yeah.
5, 6, 8 years ago, 3 of those. And then, you know, and it was crazy because like, I guess it was the next day after, I was getting gas, at one of the gas stations here, and this guy rolled up in this black Mercedes and he's like, "Hey, I see your landscaper, you know, I got steel BR-600 for sale, $200, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this seems kind of fishy, right?
Yeah.
And so knowing that that had just happened to us, I actually went down to, you know, a few miles down the road, local police. It's not the main police station, but they have like a little branch office, you
okay,
know, maybe
yep.
where one person is, you yep, know, yep. like here or there. And I went down and asked them, I'm like, "What should I do about this? Because, you know, we had just gotten these stolen a few days ago." It was 3 blowers. Maybe it was 4 blowers because my dad has workers and everything. It may be 4 and then some other things too. And so the police was like, "Well, just line it up with this guy, have him meet you back up at this gas station. And then I'll come and I'll like, you know, check your IDs and, you know, just make it look like, you know, where it's, you know, not partial to any person, you know what I mean?"
Yeah, yeah. Like a random.
And, yeah, yeah. So I knew it was fishy. So when the guy told me that, you know, I just acted like I was a lawn care worker. I was like, "Yeah, give me the number. I'll ask my boss and we will, you know, we'll contact back about it." And so I did what the police said and they had him come. This was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had him come and so he checked my license, he checked their license, and sure enough, like, you know, it was a whole, it basically, you know how these things take a long time. I mean,
yeah.
it wrecked a whole day. You know, looking back, I don't know that it was really worth it, but, you know, a whole day of sitting there and the police doing this and that and this and that. And then he knew that the people would call me again. So they called back the number and then the police told me exactly what to say. He told me to like say these certain cuss words about the police and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so and that was hard for me cause I'm not really like a cussing kind of
yeah,
person.
Yeah.
So, but I did exactly what the police told me and all that. And it turns out, because my dad's brothers are in the business too. And that blower that he's trying to sell me that day was my uncle's blower. And he lives like 20 minutes away.
Mm.
And so it was my uncle's blower. We never got our blowers back, but it was like these few brothers, and it seems to happen like this. And they had a history of this. Like this is what they do. You know
okay,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And it, that like this is what the, this is their side hustle, right? So like they were, you know, like I said, they and what was crazy about it is their parents. All right. So their parents live inside one of these fancy neighborhoods that I work in. Their parents live there, $2 million house. And so they live with their parents or whatever. And it's just a crazy setup. And so, you know, this whole day wasting and they, I think, you know, maybe they like arrest them or something. But then, you know, their mom or something just like pay the money and get them out. And next day, you know, it's just back to life as normal. So like, you know, these things are kind of frustrating because I don't know, you know, if we really like made progress or anything. We never got our blowers back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Wow.
So
Tony's lawn care and sting operations. Undercover sting. So,
I say all that to say that, you know, we're not exempt from things being stolen or, you know, those things can happen anywhere. If you think it can't happen somewhere, you know, that's probably when there's a problem, is you think that something will never happen like that to you, because it can't.
Yeah. That's the thing. That sounds really familiar. Like, the recreational property that I own in Washington State, it's basically like a big, private campground and, almost like a state park. It's very like forest and everything. But everybody everybody owns their spot, sort of thing. And it was one of the same thing happened. There was a whole bunch of thefts, a few years ago, of people's properties getting broken into and things getting stolen and stuff. And it turned out, they broke into one trailer that had, security cameras and stuff on their property. And, like a typical, like a campground or something like that, you have like your power pedestal out front. So they thought they would be smart and turn the power off at the power pedestal for the security cameras, not knowing that the person who owned that particular property, that's their job. Their business is security. So they had their security cameras not wired to the pedestal. They had it directly wired to the feed going into the pedestal of power.
Oh, I gotcha.
So it couldn't be turned off, whether you turn the breaker off or not. So they got caught on video breaking into this thing. And it turned out it was, again, like you said, two brothers. And they were they had a spot there. Their parents owned one of the properties there. And their parents didn't even know that their kids were doing this, going and breaking into other properties there. And they were stealing like people's Xboxes and things like that, and going and dumping them in like Rubbermaid totes in the forest, hiding them there, and then running Craigslist ads, and then going and grabbing stuff out of these totes, all the stolen stuff, and then meeting people to sell this stuff. It was crazy, like what people will do. Like you said, you wouldn't expect it there because it's like one of your neighbors, you know, and but it's their kids doing it, right? And the parents had no idea that their kids were doing it. So it was one of the things. But that in their case, because I think they were Canadian as well, and because this happened in the U.S., they had to end up selling their property because they got banned from crossing the border because of it, because the campground property phoned the border services so that they could see when they were coming in to coordinate with the police and stuff. And so then it became a much bigger issue. And then they lost their ability to cross the border back into the U.S. because of it. So it was one of those really stupid mistakes that they did as kids that they probably regret a lot now, not being able to cross back into the U.S.
So something else I was gonna, on a completely different note, is where's all your leaf cleanup Xmark Navigator videos been this year?
They are coming right up after this commercial break. How do you like that for a segue? Just hang on and we'll get into it right after this. So stay tuned.
Choosing the right equipment also means getting service and support you can trust. Hi, it's Michelle with the Xmark customer service team. We are committed to giving you the expert technical support necessary to keep your equipment performing at its best. Reach us by phone, email, or social media on any weekday, and we will respond quickly with advice you can trust because it comes straight from the folks who built your machines. Visit Xmark.com to learn about Xmark's industry-leading service and parts support.
Cress is leading the transition from gas-powered lawn equipment for professional use with the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in battery-powered OPE. The Cress 8-Minute Cyber System allows Cress-made 60-volt batteries to fully charge in 8 minutes or less. Now, professional landscapers can replace their gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. And with a full line of equipment benchmarked against gas-powered products, landscapers can finally take charge of their business and make the switch to battery. For more information or to find a dealer near you, visit Cress.com. Cress, we power the professionals.
All right, so the Navigator leaf cleanups this year, we had a interesting season. And the previous season last year, obviously I had the machine fairly new, and we got a ton of leaves dumped and all that sort of stuff. This year, like you, it was super gradual, like starting back in August. With the heat and stuff, trees were dropping leaves because of the heat. We had an extended drought and all that stuff. So the leaf cleanups were already starting like back in August. Like every week, it was just collecting a little bit. So there was never a huge dump, especially on the big property that I do. There was one or two years where it was just like a big storm would roll through and like everything would fall at once. This year there was one day right after the week after the Equip Expo, because I had missed the previous week, where it was kind of like 2 weeks worth of cleanup, but it still wasn't anywhere near what I had before. So because I had already done videos on the X mark in sort of the more extreme conditions, it was like, and do I film it again and put it out there? Like, kind of seemed pointless to me to show it again when it's like I already got way better videos showing it. But yeah, it was just more of a gradual type thing. I think like on the big property that I do, one day, I think it was like 7 hopperfuls of that that box. In contrast to like last year, in one visit, I did like 14 hoppers full. And luckily they have a spot there in the back, like a big compost area where I can just back up and dump, which makes it super easy. But yeah, it was like a big difference, right? So I was like, it's not really kind of worth the trouble to film a video and show when there's much better examples already on my channel of how this thing will do. But yeah, other than that thing is absolutely fantastic. That's a mower for me that I would not go without for the types of properties. It like just fits my to be able to have a big mower. That one, you know, quote unquote big mower, because it's a relatively tiny mower compared to, you know, other mowers on the market. But for me, a 42 inch kind of maxes out what I can fit on the trailer and still be able to like walk, you know, to the sides of it to strap it down and that sort of stuff. And even then just barely can I get around it. But because it has that folding deck as well, it's another reason. That's the only way I can get it in the trailer and close the doors, is to back it into my trailer, fold the deck up, and then strap it and close the doors and stuff. But yeah, for me, that's such a fantastic mower, with all, especially cause I have to bag everything here. So it's hard to beat a mower that is, you know, designed specifically for bagging, like the Walkers and the Navigator, that style of, you know, grass collection type mower. But yeah, it's a fantastic mower. Yeah, just one of my absolute favorites, the Navigator, especially the build quality, on it, just little things like because I have to do that, folding the deck up to get it in the trailer. There's little wheels on the bottom of the deck that help facilitate when you lift it up, it kind of rolls on those wheels. The wheels are never in contact with the ground when you're mowing. They're just there for when you tilt the deck up. On the Walkers that I owned, they're very thin little plastic wheels, on the Navigators are plastic too, but they're, if you look at them, they're night and day difference. They're probably like 2 inches wide and much beefier. I had to replace the ones on the Navigator so often because I have to transport the mower with the deck in that up position. So they would take a beating from just bouncing around and stuff, to the point that, with the walker, I ended up just getting like 3/4-inch plywood and taking one of the wheels and tracing out a bunch of wheels out of plywood and drilling a hole and painting them black, and I would use that, and they would hold up much.
Oh, wow.
They would hold up much longer, but if they started to break or get mashed or whatever over time, then, you know, I just grab a couple of other spares that I'd make like 10 or 12 of them at a time and then just bolt some new ones on. With the Navigator, I've had it for like, what, 3 seasons now, and it still has those original plastic wheels on it. Same situation, same way that it's being towed, but they are just so much beefier. They have not had an issue with breaking or being needed to be replaced or anything, right? So it's just a little example, a little thing that just one little improvement that for me makes a world of difference. Not having to worry about those darn wheels and having to replace them all the time. Because I'm transporting the mower in a way that you're not supposed to, basically.
Right. Well, I feel like it's sort of made to be able to do. I mean, I see lots of people, even in my area, that, you know, they'll have a walker or this or that, and they'll have it flipped up, and then they'll have just like another sit-down mower, stand-on mower, or something like on the trailer. Yeah. And like, I see a lot of people transporting it with the deck.
Yeah. I have two, but if you read the manuals on both of them, they'll say not to transport it with, it's not meant for that.
Oh, I gotcha.
You're supposed to do it with the deck down or whatever, right? But it's like, I can't fit the mower with the deck down. And it's one of the reasons that I would use, like, previous to that, it was like residential John Deere tractors and stuff, because it was like, that's what I can fit in the trailer. Right, it's like no commercial mower is fitting in here, right? Until I got that first walker, and I was like, "Oh, I can actually, you know, fit this in here with the deck up. Like, that would be fantastic." So, just one of those things.
Yeah.
So, how is your? Because you're one of the first people that I initially saw using battery powered equipment, the Milwaukee trimmers and stuff, even like early on. You and who was the other person on Instagram? They're not even around anymore. I think they're on Instagram. They were called Mo's Lawn and Iron. He was experimenting with the Milwaukee stuff as well. And
he's a great guy. I wonder where he went. I've talked to him several times at the expo and stuff. I'm trying to remember what his name was.
I can't remember as well. I've interviewed him early on, and he was a really stand-up guy, really great guy. I'm not sure what happened to him as well. He just kind of disappeared. He was experimenting with that stuff as well. How's your transition? I was watching a video on your channel. I think it was from a couple years ago already. And I think from the video, it was Christmas, and you and your dad were doing a tour of his battery powered equipment. And your dad touched on in the video about kind of like what I said to you at the Equip Expo, that battery stuff is getting so politicized. It's turning into like this camp of like, if you're conservative, it's like you're against battery stuff because you think it's like liberal, and it's like your dad like clearly said, like, you know, I'm as conservative as it gets, but I want to use what you know works best or whatever, right? And that's how I feel. It's like battery stuff for me, like, never mind saving the planet and all that sort of stuff, it just works better. But your dad said something that was so funny, I literally laughed out loud. He said, he was given like the reasons, like, no noise, I don't like the noise, I don't like the smell of gas. And then he says, I don't like going to gas stations, it hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
Laughing when he said that. I was like, I feel you, brother. I don't like going to the gas station either.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, I hope to be able to use it, like, hopefully fully one day. But, you know, it's just, you know, things are getting better every day. But, you know, I still, me and my dad, we still kind of, you know, we have mixed, you know, like some battery stuff, some gas stuff, some bolt, just like a lot of people do.
Yep.
You know, hopefully in the future, you know, as things keep getting better and better and better, you know, I mean, I have no problem, you know, doing it, you know, like full time. And actually, you know, I've never had like a, I've never tried like a backpack style battery where you can, you know, get more runtime and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And I may try the Crest one. Mm-hmm. I may try it this year. Going to the expo, you know, a couple of months ago, you know, I was thinking about buying one of the Crest setup, but talking to the people, like, there's the backpack battery, you know, after January 1st is going to be completely change and get a lot better, on the Crest. So it's like, man, do I buy it now? And it's about to get, you know, increase the watt hours by a bunch, you know, in like 2 months and actually get lighter. So this year, like, the Crest stuff's, as you know, there's a lot of changes that's going to be even better than it has been.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I like all the brands pretty much. Crazy thing today, I actually on eBay, I just, like, it said it was ending, I bid on it, and I happened to win it. I won the Ryobi, it's a 40 volt, you know, it's just basically like a backpack where you can put multiple of the 40 volt batteries in there.
Okay.
And the Ryobi, like, I've bought almost every single brand of, like, blower. Like, I've been really, like, experimenting with a lot of them. I like the Makita one, you know, obviously I have the Milwaukee one, the Ryobi blower, the Whisper series, whatever, it's like, you know, kind of a homeowner unit, but, like, it is amazing how quiet that, I mean, it is so quiet, and the power is really good. And so I tried that months ago. And you can pick them up super cheap, mm-hmm. You know, on eBay and stuff, because, you know, Ryobi is like a, you know, it's like the worldwide, you know, Home Depot,
yeah,
kind of, I don't know, homeowner brand. Anyway, so today I think I paid three before tax. It was like $336 or something, and it come with one of the 40 volt 6 amp hour. It's a big battery and like this, rapid charger that plugs into the backpack and that handheld blower. And like I said, I bought all that for, it has like this, kind of high amperage charger that, you know, you can charge the batteries inside of the backpack, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And it's very, very fast. And I actually have the Ryobi 40 volt, 21 inch mower too, as well. And I love that thing. That thing is so nice. So Ryobi is TTI Industries, which is, so it's the same people that make, Milwaukee Rigid Ryobi.
Yeah, okay, yep.
Sense?
Yep.
And so, yes, there are some things that are better about Milwaukee and stuff like that. But you know, the Ryobi, like, is not a bad line because of just how easy it is to pick them up. And you figure a 40 volt, you know, 6 amp hour battery, you know, that's still, what is that, 200 and something watt hours, you know, and you can pick those up all day long on eBay, $60-$70, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's crazy. Now Ryobi will not warranty, you know, which is why I've been experimenting with some of the stuff on eBay, because even if you buy it new from Home Depot, they will not warranty anything commercial use anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been kind of experimenting with some of this stuff. So I'm going to test that out. But like I said, I'm just kind of experimenting with that. I'm still open to buying, you know, several thousand dollar, you know, whole Crest setup. You know, I'm open to that. You know, I personally think that the Husqvarna commercial line of the string trimmer, is like the best tool, like, as far as like the lightweight of it, the ergonomics, like how the throttle curve feels, like the tool itself.
Yeah,
I think nobody beats the Husqvarna commercial line of products. Like, if you use them at the expo, as far as just the tool itself, but now it's so hard because, you know, I like the tools a little less on the Crest line, the tools themselves, just like how they are, but the battery technology is definitely, you know, very far ahead on the Crest line, which almost makes it worth it,
yep,
to invest in that one versus one of the other brands, just because, you know, you're able to charge it fast. Even with that cooler charger like the one you have, even without buying the cyber tank.
Yep. It's fast.
I was thinking about, I was thinking about, like, if I had like a small, like a little inverter generator in my truck, you know, I could crank that thing up and charge, like, you know, the Crest batteries in like 12 minutes or whatever, and then just shut the little generator back off, yep. You know? And then you could do that. You could charge on the go, which that kind of doesn't make sense because you're running a little, cause I have one of those little inverter generators, you know, like the Honda ones, yep. You know, like they're super quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. Very quiet. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I was thinking about, man, I even talked to the guys at Crest. I'm like, how many watts does this thing pull? Would it be a problem to run it off of like a 2000 watt inverter generator? Because, you know, it's only like a consistent, you know, like, 14 to 1800 watts. And then that's just how they design those generators, you know, yep. Like they kind of peak at 2000 watts.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
So like, is this drawing too much or whatever? And so they, a bunch of people didn't know. And then, one guy, he did know, and he was saying that it would do that no problem. He was saying they sometimes will fire up one or two of those, like at their displays and kind of run the whole show there of the press stuff. So I was like, ah, that's pretty cool. So, you know, and definitely some cool options coming. And, you know, the Ryobi stuff, obviously it's not waterproof, you know, it's more of a homeowner thing.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying if someone out there, they want to kind of dip their toes into battery equipment stuff, it's pretty sweet. I mean, you can get a Ryobi carbon fiber, trimmer with the motor back up by the battery. You can pick those up on eBay for like $70. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah. The one thing I like about Ryobi especially is, before I got into lawn care and stuff like that, like 20 years ago, I bought a Ryobi kit. I think it was like five tools with like the 18 volt one system or whatever, right? And it was back when they were like blue and yellow, right? And they had like nickel-cadmium batteries and stuff. It was a great set for, you know, working around the house and doing all the projects and all that sort of stuff. Had the little handheld reciprocating saw, the circular saw, the drill, a flashlight, vacuum, a chainsaw. The chainsaw was the only thing that was a real disappointment. It would drain those NiCad batteries in like half of a 2-inch thick branch, right? It was like pretty pathetic. But the nice thing is that they never changed the size of the battery, the style. Recently I was like, you know, it's just such a shame. I don't want to throw these out because they're still fantastic tools. But the batteries don't hold a charge anymore. Learned that you can use the new lithium versions in the tool because it's the same shape and it's the same voltage. So I bought their brand new 4 amp hour lithium battery, and with the new rapid charger that they have is like, I think it was like, I forget how much it was, 70 or something bucks on Black Friday or something last year or whatever it was. Bought it and came home, popped it in, and I've got all those tools again. I'm like, this is awesome. And they have more power and last way longer now than they did when they were new with the nickel cadmium batteries. So so I love that. That's like 20 years later and they stuck to that same system and their promise that one battery does it all for those like hand tools, right? Sort of thing. Right. I was like, that's a fantastic value. Right. So I like them for that, for their track record of sticking to their promise of not changing those 18 volt battery design over the 20 years. I think that's good. But as you mentioned too, with like the newer stuff, that Crest, like my favorite thing about the Crest stuff is just the battery technology is phenomenal. And like putting a battery in the morning and packing batteries with me, and then I come home at the end of the day and it's like it still has battery left on the original battery that I started out with in the morning. It's like, that is insanity. Like that I can string trim all day on one battery. It's like, that's crazy. You know, it's heavy because it's a big beefy commercial battery, but it's like, that's just crazy that like you could literally go the whole day on one battery on one of these things, right? So it's funny because I'll always take the extras just in case, but it's like, oh, didn't need it, you know, sort of thing, right?
Now, what about, do you have the, because Crest makes a thing so you can just like put the the little red square battery on your back with this little tether harness thing. I can't, did you mention, do you have that?
Yeah.
Do you like using that or no?
Yeah, they sent it. The only thing, it works fantastically for taking the weight off the trimmer. The Crest trimmer is the heaviest trimmer I've ever used. When you factor in, if you're using that full size commercial battery, that 4 amp hour, it's just
right.
That battery's massive, right? So it's like, but it, like I said, that's probably why it goes all day on one battery, because it's just huge. But it does get heavy, especially at first. It was a pretty initial shock the first few days using it. Just like I had to stop all the time and just like let my arms, like my forearms, recover, because it was like using muscles I'd never had to use before like that, supporting that type of weight. It got easier as I went, like just committed to using it. You build up that muscle memory and stuff, so it wasn't as much of a big deal once you get used to it. It's the same thing that I say, like when people ask me about switching to like the Xmark Commercial 30, they're like, it's so heavy and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, maybe the first day or whatever, but once you get, you, if you're committing to and you're using it every day, you don't even notice it after a while. You only notice it if you switch to something else again, then you're like, oh yeah, that was kind of heavy compared, right? Like switching to these battery mowers, just because I'm testing them and stuff like that. I love the Commercial 30, but it was like, well, I can't, you know, to commit to creating the content and stuff, I've got to switch over to the battery stuff, right? And they're smaller and stuff. So it was only then, after a couple months, that in the garage I had to move the Commercial 30 around, and I like rolled it and I was like, oh, this thing's heavy like, compared to like a battery mower, especially when there's no battery in it, right? It's like, this thing's like a feather compared to that thing. So I think it's one of those things. So I tried out that harness that you're talking about a couple times, and it definitely makes trimming and edging and whatever you want to use with having the battery off and on your back way easier, especially because you can fit you can put like that full 11 amp hour, the big huge suitcase battery on it, or the smaller 4 amp hour battery. So it works great in those situations. It's a little bit cumbersome to kind of get used to it. I haven't gotten used to it yet. I got it late in the season. And what I mean by that is like in the trailer, kind of figuring out, you know, because it's connected, do I disconnect it? Do I, I got to hang it somewhere so it's not like, you know, on the ground sort of thing. And then kind of putting it on and kind of figuring out, okay, I got to put this on now and strap it in, and then, you know, grab the tether and hook it in. And now this is, you know, kind of the efficiency is being lost here. So I was doing it because I'm testing it. But it's like, I probably wouldn't use this on a daily basis for the size properties, because my properties are tiny. But definitely on the commercial property that I do, I would do it, because that's the one that still kills me when I'm trimming. That's the one that still gets my forearms, because I'm just trimming for so long on it. The smaller properties don't bother me anymore with it like they did when I first started using it, because I'm so used to it now. But on that big one, I definitely have been using that harness for the trimming and stuff, just because it's like, I'm out here for a long time trimming. I might as well just, you know, keep that weight off and put the battery on the back, and it's an easier thing to manage. So I think it's definitely worth having. Yeah, it's one of those things, right? Just an extra accessory that helps lend itself to that particular situation. But yeah, I've been really impressed so far with their stuff. Like you said, it's just seems like the other big thing, like I never have to worry about it, whether it's the battery life or whether it's the weather, which was the biggest. I love the Milwaukee stuff. I've, you know, used the trimmer full time for a season before switching to the Crest. And the only reason I stopped is because we get the rain, right? And the Milwaukee stuff is not rated for rain. So I was like, well, I'm in the Pacific Northwest, I have to do it with rain, right? So it can't be something that I rely on all the time. It's fine for like, I still use the Milwaukee stuff for all the hedge trimming and stuff, because I can pick what day I'm doing it. But for the mowing, it's like, it's got to be on schedule. So rain or shine, it's got to get done. So yeah, in those situations. But yeah, it's a neat time, like you were saying, right? Everything's changing. So many, you know, things. Does your dad still like, I think in that video, he was using that extension pole with the hedge trimmer, articulating hedge trimmer, and he was trimming like a big like 9-foot bush or something out behind a building there. How did that work out for him?
Yeah, I mean, I have the same setup too, because a lot of our bushes are big here. So I generally every day use it, not with the extension, but just with the Milwaukee, with the, you know, just with the regular, whatever 3 foot it is, you know, like when you just have it straight on there.
Yeah.
And so I don't even really use like the small, like handheld one, because you may have a small bush here or there, but most of them, you know, on these properties are, you know, bigger shrubs. So it doesn't really make sense to go back to truck and get a handheld one. You know what I mean? You just kind of, it's a little awkward, but you know how it is.
You can work around even the
small bush with that Milwaukee thing. So that's, I trim bushes every day with the quick lock thing. I have one property that has 400 shrubs on it.
Wow.
And I do it all with all my hedge trimming, you know, only with the Milwaukee, the quick lock. Another thing is the quick lock one, is dual action. So the top blade and the bottom blade both
move,
go back and forth.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Whereas, actually I think it's a law where they can't do that on like handheld ones. So on a handheld one, it'll like one bar will just be like, it'll stay still. And then the other one moves
back and forth.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's fine most of the time, but here in the South, it's a lot of like these dense shrubs, you know what I mean? And that dual action definitely, it just makes it so you don't have to stand there, you know, and go real slow with it. You know what I mean? Where it's, that's gas or battery. The dual action just makes so you can just, you know what I mean?
It cuts way,
right across the
cuts
top,
way
whatever,
cleaner. It doesn't pinch the mm-hmm. the pieces, right? So you can get somewhere, kind of just jams in there, because it's kind of just pressing it instead of the two ends slicing together.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why, that's another reason why I don't really use the handheld one, just because it's too slow. Whereas that, you know, the quick lock one is great because it is dual action. You know, it works great. So yeah, he's still running that. I'm still running mine too. And I've had, I think, three of the quick lock hedge trimmer attachment, because like I spend like 1/3 of my day trimming shrubs like every day. So like I literally use them, even though I keep them greased, until that internal gear wears out. And then it's kind of nice, because with the Milwaukee, you know, it's only, they used to be like 150, but now I think they're 200-ish. But still, you can just buy a brand new, you know, quick lock attachment. Boom, put it on your, you know, on your quick lock thing, and away you go with a new. Whereas, yeah, like, so let's say my steel, the HLK 94, which is basically like that 94R, but it has the articulating hedge trimmer attachment on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that thing's $600, you know, all day. $620, I think I paid the last one I bought before I started using all Milwaukee. And I bet now, you know, that means nowadays it's probably $700, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, especially, as you know this, especially for a hedge trimmer, man, like, it's kind of disadvantage to use a gas hedge trimmer, my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, some things, you know, like doing leaf cleanups and things, which the Crest one's probably the best battery one, but, you know, it's hard, you know, to do leaf cleanups all day with, you know, I end up using these gas. You know, I have that biggest Husqvarna one they've had. I had the Echo 8010. I had the steel BR or the BR-800. I still have it. You know, I have lots of blowers.
Yep.
But, you know, like for something like a hedge trimmer, man, like there's no point really in using gas hedge trimmer.
Nope.
I guess if you're just like against battery stuff altogether, then you probably won't buy a battery hedge trimmer. But I'm just saying, it is nice, and the battery lasts forever.
Yeah.
On there.
On hedge trimmers. Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, recently, because we do a lot of crepe myrtle tree trimming. These like small trees. They're like a decorative tree. I don't even know if they have those up there. They might. they're kind of a waxy kind of, okay. I don't know. They're, you know, 6-8 feet tall. The big ones are bigger than that, but you know, you have to shape them and clip things out of them and all that. And so you've seen at the expo, but I actually bought a Milwaukee M12 where it's like, it's basically like the clippers, you know, that you hold in your hand, like a bypass pruner.
Yeah, the handheld, the pruners, the power pruners.
Yep, yep. So I got the Milwaukee M12 one this year.
Nice.
Because this time of year you start clipping all these crepe myrtle limbs, and that thing is sweet. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee one, like, so the blades, just like if you had a manual one, it's like however hard you press the trigger is how much the blade closes.
Oh,
does that
cool.
make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So like
pressure sensitive.
So it's like, uh-huh. So it's perfect to your finger, almost as if you're using the manual one, which, you know, with a manual one, you're just whatever you're pressing it, you know, that's perfectly what the blades are doing. And it works exactly like that on this
nice.
Milwaukee one. So I love it. I love it. Love it. There are several brands that are starting to have it. I mean, DeWalt actually has had one for a little while.
Yeah, theirs is bigger, though, much more cumbersome looking.
Yes.
It almost looks like a DeWalt cordless one, drill like with a pruner uh-huh. end
yeah,
on it. Right?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So the DeWalt one, like you're saying, it has like a drill look where like the motor kind of like sticks off the back. Yeah. The Milwaukee one is really nice because it actually it has, you can press the button and it has a mode where the jaws or whatever the blades, they'll only open depending on which mode you have it on. They'll only open halfway. Cause you know, like small branches that are like your finger size.
Yeah.
It's going to take you longer if, you know, if the thing has to open up all the way and then
yes.
you press it and it closes all the way again. So there's like a halfway, you just press that button and then it only opens like halfway. So it can make it mm-hmm. even faster, you know, for like doing yep. the small cuts. And so I've been experimenting with that over the last few weeks, and man, I really, really like that thing. And then plus, like you're saying, it makes it lighter because you're able to use that, you know, the tiny, you know, M12 Milwaukee batteries, you know, like on the M12 system, which I really, really enjoy that. Like if I'm going to run a drill, you know, and build something or something, like the Milwaukee, the 12 volt line, like it's incredible. Just because of how small and light it is and,
yeah.
you know, and the newer like brushless ones, they last like super good. So yeah. So, you know, as things go on, I hope to, you know, experiment more and more with, battery stuff. So one question I have for you though, is like, since you, cause I know you talk about in your podcast, you're using a 30 inch and how you saw like a huge efficiency.
Yep.
But then now if you're using the Crest battery,
yep.
which is a 21, so are you back to less efficiency or like yep. what's the deal with that?
Yep, absolutely. And that's the biggest that's the biggest issue with the battery mowers that I've tested so far, both the Exmark and the Crest. On their own, they're fantastic mowers. You know, for a 21 inch mower, they're both great. They both have pluses and minuses with them. But in comparatively speaking to putting it against what I've used before in terms of efficiency, that 30 inch mower cut size is fantastic. Like it's crazy. It literally was 2 hours a day that it saved me. So yeah, I did see a dramatic increase in the amount of time it's taking to mow the lawns and stuff. And ironically, the fatigue level, I'm doing more walking, obviously, in that time mm-hmm. because I'm having mm-hmm. to make more passes. But it's kind of, so I'm in a little bit more fatigue, I guess, in the legs and stuff. But then other parts of me, I'm noticing less fatigue because the mowers are much lighter than the 30.
Right.
Which I didn't really, you know, you get so used to it, you don't really notice it. It's just, that becomes your norm. So it's just one of those things. So it's kind of a wash right now. I'm going to continue using the 21s because I've committed to testing them and trying out, right? It's sort of kind of turned into being this kind of like the crash test dummy of like you. Like I mm-hmm, look at your channel mm-hmm. and it's like you've got different mowers all the time, right? I was going to ask you about this, the Hustler Surfer Pro that you're trying out because that looks like an interesting mower. So you still have it?
Yep. Yep. I bought it. I've had it almost a year or whatever. The thing, it only weighs 450 pounds or something, total weight.
Yeah, see, that's awesome.
So,
and what size is it?
It's a 48 inch.
Yeah, 40 for 400 pounds. So that's crazy.
Yeah. So there are some downsides to it, because me and you, even though we're in completely opposite sides of the country, for different reasons, you know, like I'm on very high end properties, very well irrigated. And so heavy commercial mowers can be a problem,
yep.
You know? So this actually is pretty darn sweet because, it's really small. It's really light. Now the downside to it is it has small hydro pumps on it. So it's slow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that is a downside, but, there are several yards that I was doing with, a 30 inch, you know, like, man, I've put hundreds of hours on 30 inch mower. Like I had the Toro commercial back in the day, which is just like the Exmark one. And like the bars had like no paint on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had, you know, mowed with that thing. You know how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Where is that? The handlebars where you always have your hands. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this Hustler Surfer Pro, like you almost like you can't see where you just went. You know what I mean? Like, it is fantastic, like footprint wise.
Nice.
So I do like it. But the thing is, in the traction is good. It's very short. It is also, I think, the smallest mower, like front to back, I think in the industry as well. I forget what it is. I think it's only like, 50s. Low 50s inches, like okay, from the front of the mower to the back of the mower. So it's very small. And that's to the back tip of the little platform. Does that make sense?
Yep,
so, so there's like, it looks goofy, but man, like I'm not having to push mow as much anymore. You know, my lawns look super good. Customers are happy with it. And I've actually had three people that are like, you know, landscape designers for these, like, you know, millions of dollar property, and like, what mower is that? Because I'm going to buy one of those tomorrow, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's like, they're like, how much is it? Like a lot of money. I'm like, nah, it's $4,800. You know, I mean, new.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I mean, but you know, the pros are is it does have good traction. You know, because some of these like residential riders, that's for some reason like they have no traction on the back. You know what I mean? So this has good traction, just the way it's designed. Like if I'm going up, if I'm mulching a pile of leaves with it, I can, you know, as I'm getting a little leaf resistance in the front, I can lean back and I can wheelie that thing. You
okay.
Know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
So that, you know, can be helpful at times. I love the mower. It's basically, you know, kind of like a mix of parts from a Hustler Raptor and the Hustler Dash. I think it's the deck off of actually the Dash, which is even below the Raptor model. But the Hustler product is super good. Like it is hard to beat them. Like they're super durable. I have almost 300 hours on that thing right now, and I've just abused it. You know, I'm mulching piles of leaves, you know, half as big as my truck and stuff with it. I mean,
wow.
I'm working that thing and it's been great. But you know, in the future, to be honest, I probably, because I do like sit down mowers too, I probably will go back possibly to a 42 inch Hustler Raptor. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And here are some of the reasons. It is a little bit faster. It has a little bit bigger pumps on it. You're getting to sit down and it's about $1,000 less. But it's still extremely lightweight. You know, so like for people starting out their business or stuff, like, man, that the little Hustler Raptor, like the little sit down mower, you know, they are extremely good for what they are. But I think the ultimate, the best on the market, lightweight, you know, like zero turn mower is the Skag Liberty Z.
Okay.
That's only, that's only 600 pounds, even a 48 inch is 600 pounds. I've owned the 48 and 36. 36 is even less than that. Just the way it's designed, the way the pumps are, it still has the 3100 pump, so it still goes 7+ miles an hour, like the little Skag.
Yep.
Like in the balance of, you know, the weight balance, the traction, all that, like no mower that Toro or any of these other companies make on the residential side comes close really to what the Skag is, the way the size of the bearings for the spindles, like, and it's still super lightweight. But you know, the downside is, you know, those are, not that that would deter me from buying one necessarily, but you know, they're, those Skag Liberty Z's are like $6,000 now or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas you can still get one of these Hustler Raptors, you know, different promotions and stuff, $3,700, $3,800, one of these sit-down mowers. And like you, I feel like I mean, I have this 48 Surfer Pro because they only offer it in 34 and 48.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel like for my kind of high-end kind of yards, like that 42 size maybe is my favorite size, like in the whole world.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
Because it's still small to where it cuts super well, but it's still bigger than a 36, which kind of feels like you're getting nothing done, you know, on the passes. You
yeah,
know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So it kind of has that sweet balance. Plus, you could still fit in a 4-foot gate, you know, with a 42. So that's another plus. Not that I have many gates, but, you know, I have a 7-acre property that's my church, and I have a 61-inch, you know, Skag sit-down mower that I use for that. I also have a Big Dog 52-inch, and that's the fully commercial one. It's basically the same thing as, like, the Hustler Super S or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
And it has the Kohler EFI engine, you know, the whole thing. And that's a 52-inch mower. I got a super good deal on that this last year. I actually bought it used with 100 hours on it, and I feel like people don't know to look into the Big Dog brand. You know what I'm saying? And so it has sat on there. I remember your episodes back in the day talking about the Craigslist crawl, right?
Yep.
So kind of, you know, nowadays it's kind of Facebook Marketplace,
yep,
kind of deal. Yep. But, so I found this mower and, you know, and it had, I think 110 hours on or something. And it was about 3 hours away. But it looked super good. He had all the paperwork for it and everything. And he was the second owner, but he had like all the documents like from the dealership and everything. And it had the Kohler EFI engine and everything. And I bought it this summer. I wasn't even planning on buying it, but I was like, hey, he takes this offer, I'm going to drive 3 hours and get it. So I paid $5,500 for it.
Nice.
You know, with 110, 115 hours on it. And that's, you know, the Kohler EFI engine and, you know, they're kind of, it's the fully commercial, you know, Parker pump and wheel motor setup. I mean, it's a beast of a stand-on mower, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have that. Those are kind of like my three mowers right now. I mean, I have a 30-inch mower too, and I have the Ryobi 21-inch,
yeah,
which I love as well. So to answer the question, the Hustler Surfer Pro, like, it is a great mower, like, for what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, traction-wise, space-wise, it takes up no space. Would I buy it again? Yeah, I think I would.
Mm-hmm.
But I also would consider just getting that regular Hustler Raptor because, you know, it's $1,000 less, has bigger pumps on it. You can sit down if you want.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But it's a great mower, mm-hmm, overall. And, for people out there starting their business or if they need something lightweight, hey, I mean, if you can...
Yeah.
You know, if I can make money, if I mow with it for a few seasons and then sell it for half what I paid for it, buy another one, you know, have I really lost money? I mean, yeah, a couple $1,000, but
yeah,
it's kind of cost of business. And
yeah, I like that it's just like a no frills, stripped down, you know, keep it light as, mm-hmm, possible type machine, right? For me, in the climate that I'm in, those are always a consideration, right? And a lot of times I'm having to not take certain equipment or whatever the case may be. And it's one of the reasons why I love turf tracer that I have, because it's in that 400 pound range, right? Mm-hmm. Being an older turf tracer, it's only 400 and something pounds, and it's like, oh, it's perfect. It never ruts. It never does anything like that. I can, you know, be on the sulky behind it and all that sort of stuff, and it works well. So yeah, it's neat to see a company kind of going that way, because it seems like a lot of times, you know, I talked about durability and things like that, but sometimes it's over, like the top of like this stuff you hear, like people say it's built like a tank. It's like, yeah, it's literally built like a tank, like a little bit too much for cutting lawns or something, right? It's like they could have shaved some weight off of this, you know, put a little bit lighter gauge steel and stuff, and it would still be fine, because you look at, you know, an older, like my older turf tracer is nowhere near as, I think it's like 450 pounds versus I think a new one is like 700 pounds for the same size. So it's like, well, where'd that extra weight come from, right? It's just heavier duty or better steel, all that sort of stuff. And it's like, okay, but this one's, you know, it's still fine. It still works great. So I'm sure that there's obviously a reason why. There's probably guys that are running them hard, but as a solo operator, you're more delicate with your machines, right? You're taking care of the stuff more than if you have like a bunch of employees. So that's probably the reason. There's probably a bigger, you know, with employees and stuff, their stuff gets trashed a lot easier. But as a solo operator, I tend to lean towards wanting more lightweight as a feature.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
I think it's interesting that, you know, there's only two companies to my knowledge right now that make sort of like a residential stand-on mower. And that is this Hustler one. And then there is the Bad Boy. I don't know if you're familiar with Bad Boy.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have one, but you know, it's heavier built. So it's not really, it's still almost 800 pounds. So that's, but I'm just saying there's only two companies. It's interesting because of the, you know, there's a million residential riders and this and that, but there's only two companies right now that have a residential stand-on mower.
Yeah.
And it's the Bad Boy and it's this Hustler, you know, to my knowledge. And, you know, stand-on mowers are all the rage nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you know, I've owned six different walk behinds. You know, I had a 2013 Turf Tracer. I had a Toro Proline 44. I had a John Deere WH-48. I've had many walk behinds. But as you know, like, I would still rather use this little Hustler stand-on any day compared to, you know, even the hydro units, you know, still way easier on my body, it seems, than, you know, than doing the sulky and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the plus side to the hydro walk behinds, that why they're still viable in the market, is that a hydro walk behind is super heavy duty commercial, and it's lightweight, and it's, you know, not $1 million. So that's why,
and like, it's versatile.
All the big companies where I live, all the big companies where I live that have the crews and stuff, they're all, you know, mowing these $1 million houses. They're basically all running the walk behind, you know, hydro walk behind, either John Deere or the Turf Tracer or that. And so it's still, you know, I still like hydro walk behinds. I'm not really against any equipment. I kind of like it all, and that's kind of a problem. you know, I'm not really like a,
you need a
not really
group.
Like, you know, yeah, I'm not really like, you know, it has to be Ford or has to be Chevy or, like with this equipment. I mean, I like Skag, I like Exmark, I kind of, you know, Toro, like Hustler, John Deere, whatever. Yeah. You know, I like all of it. But are they not going to, Exmark, do they not have a battery 30-inch mower? Because they have the E-Time Master now, and they have the commercial Turf Master, and they're the same company, so why don't they put some Exmark stickers on it and send you a Exmark 30 battery?
Have that released at the Equip Expo. They have a commercial 30 E-Series. So
I gotcha.
Yeah, so they had that on display and stuff, and I got to talk to them about the features and stuff on that on the video I filmed. And neat product, and potential for the future to see if I can get my hands on one for testing to see how it compares to the gas version, one of my, you know, all-time favorite mowers, that commercial 30 gas version. So be definitely some possibility in the future. I'm just looking at the clock here. We're at an hour and 30 minutes. Yeah. So I think we could just keep going on and on and on. So I think I'm going to wrap it up. Before we finish off here, how can people follow you online?
Man, it's awesome coming on here with you today. I don't even know if we really started the episode, and I hope that we got the things that you want to get in for the episode, but I just so appreciate you having me on here. Tony's Lawn Care on YouTube, and then I have a podcast that I started, Truck Talk Podcast, back in the day, which I'm starting to do non-truck talk, so that helps the audio a bit. But it's called Lawn Care Talk. I'm thinking about changing it to just Tony's Lawn Care Podcast, but for now, Lawn Care Talk, and like I said, Tony's Lawn Care and YouTube, been on there since 2013, I think, so for a long time. And then my email is in the description of every video and every podcast, so you can email me. Neither one of those, I'm not a huge social media person, so pretty easy to get a hold of. That's pretty much it.
Awesome. Quick shout out to your podcast co-host River, who makes appearances frequently on there. Awesome to see you with your son and having him kind of participate there in his way, whether it's checking out the mic or whatever he's doing. But it's awesome to see. So thanks so much for taking the time out to come on to the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Julio.
Awesome. So there you have it, Lawn Care Nation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that value-packed interview episode with Tony Rudolph from Tony's Lawn Care. Be sure to check out his YouTube channel and make sure you guys subscribe to see what he's up to and check out that his mowers and all the things that he's been up to there with the battery equipment and his experimenting with all sorts of things. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.